Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, it's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. We all know sleepers can win you championships, but finding these guys takes time. That's where the Sleeper King comes in. Let me do all the research so you don't have to. Every week, I'm going to break down which sleepers you need to pick up off the waiver wire and which surprise deep sleepers could help you win the week. Every episode, just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
This from Terry to open up the show today. Terry writes, Kevin, getting to the playoffs is amazing for the first year of a new regime. But getting to a Super Bowl usually means you have to win your division. I'm concerned that the Eagles are more talented, almost as young, and will be tough to catch for the next few years. I'm happy with being a good team, but winning the Super Bowl is the prize, and winning three road games to get there is a tough ask. Good morning, everybody. Already looking ahead is Terry. The Nats won the draft lottery. Denton texted me that last night. They'll pick number one for the third time in franchise history. It won't happen until mid-July of next year, but Mark Zuckerman's going to jump on with us at 11:35 to tell us who the next Steven Strasburg or Bryce Harper will be. Mitch Tischler will be with us at 11 a.m. to talk about the home stretch, the final four games to the playoffs. Even though the playoff spot they earn, more likely than not, will be a wild card berth, which Terry is very concerned about, not just for this year, but moving forward. I haven't given a lot of thought, really, to beyond what we're witnessing right now, other than the thought that it's going to be kind of cool that Washington and Philadelphia appear to be, and the NFL changes, we understand this, okay, can change on, you know, one injury can completely alter a franchise, knock on wood, as I say that. But right now, given where both teams seem to be positioned, it looks like for the next few years, they're going to battle it out for the division. You know, finally, Washington's going to be in that mix of teams that when we're talking during the offseason and we're talking over the summer and we're starting to do predictions for the upcoming season and you're reading other people's predictions, you're not seeing them as a top five next year's draft selection in terms of the order. You know, you're seeing them, you know, division winner, wild card, you know, 10 wins, 11 wins, 12 wins. You know, get ready for that, because when you have a team in its first year with a rookie quarterback that performs at a much higher than expected level, the optimism for that franchise moving forward goes through the roof. You know, it doesn't happen if you don't have the quarterback. But when you have the quarterback, at least the perception that you have the quarterback, get ready for lofty praise during the offseason. You know, much more consternation over what they're doing in free agency, what they're doing in the draft, how they're enhancing the roster rather than building it from scratch. What they're doing to support this young star quarterback who made a Pro Bowl in his first season, because that is likely to happen. You know, he's the number one vote getter in the NFC in terms of the fan vote. And I don't think players and coaches are going to knock him down that far, not in the NFC. If you were in the AFC, it would be tough. It would be tougher. But I would think that Goff and Daniels have a pretty good shot to be named Pro Bowl NFC quarterbacks. Yeah, get ready for that. So, Terry, look, first of all, you are right. It is hard to win a Super Bowl from a wild card position. It's been done. Most recently, the 2020 Buccaneers won 3 road games with Tom Brady at quarterback and advanced to the Super Bowl, beat the Chiefs in the COVID season. The 2007 Giants famously won 3 road games and shocked the Patriots, the 07 Patriots, in the Super Bowl. The 2005 Steelers did it. The 2010 Packers did it. You know, these are the 4 examples in the era of at least 6 playoff teams per conference of the teams in the 5, 6, or 7 spot to win it all. However, just so you know, no 7 seed, and we've only had the 7 seed for a few years, no 7 seed has ever gotten to the Super Bowl or won the Super Bowl. And very few overall 6 and 5 seeds have ever won it. I just gave you the list of the 5 and 6 seeds that have won it. So, yes, from the wild card spot, it's possible. You know, you think back to those years, those teams kind of got on a roll, and you know, they also in three of the 4 cases, they had the quarterback, Aaron Rodgers, Ben Roethlisberger, and Tom Brady. Now, the Giants had Eli Manning. I wouldn't put him in that same category, but they were okay at quarterback, and they just got on a roll, and they got it done amazingly. But it's harder, yes. And to your overarching kind of point that you're concerned that the Eagles are more talented, almost as young. In fact, they are actually a younger roster. I had to look this up. I wasn't sure. The Eagles have the 7th youngest roster in the NFL right now. Washington's roster is actually the 8th oldest in the NFL. Now, you know, there are a couple of long-in-the-tooth players, Bobby Wagner, Tressway, come to mind. But it doesn't matter. The overall average age of Washington's roster is the 8th oldest. The Eagles have the 7th youngest roster in the NFL. And I would agree with you. And we've kind of seen that play out this year, right? Because certainly if we go back 2 months, if we go back to mid-October, even late October, what are we talking about? Washington was right there. You know, they for a few weeks, Denton, they were actually favored to win the division. You know, there was that few week period when, you know, they were destroying people like Cleveland and, you know, the Panthers, etc., where they actually and they had the lead in the division when they were 4-1. Then they got to 7-2 and they were still in the lead in the division. As the Eagles were gaining ground, no doubt. But, you know, the Eagles over the course of the season have proven to be a better football team. You know, still have to go play the games. They got one coming up on the 22nd, a week from Sunday at home. It probably won't get Washington into position to win the division, although it's possible if Philadelphia loses this weekend to Pittsburgh and Washington goes to New Orleans and wins, you're talking about then, you know, the next game being Washington at 9-5, Philadelphia at 11-3 with a chance to get to within a game with 2 to go at that point. Now, Philadelphia's last 2 games are the Cowboys and Giants at home. So keep that in mind. And while I don't think they clinch, I don't think they clinch with a win against Pittsburgh, right? Do they? Look at playoff clinching scenarios for this week, Denton. They're out there somewhere. Philly probably clinches a playoff spot with a win over Pittsburgh, but I don't think they clinch the division. Although a Philly win and a Washington loss would clinch the division. I mean, I don't even need to get into tiebreakers at that point because they'd have 12. Washington could only get to 11 at that point. So a win and a Washington loss, Philadelphia clinches the division. But I don't think they clinch the division with a win and a Washington win.
No, they do not. They need Washington to lose to clinch.
Right.
Or tie.
Or tie, right, exactly. Because if they had 12 and Washington was still left with 8, even if it was 8-5-1, they couldn't get to 12. So there's that. But I think every year is a new year. And the way I would view kind of the future, and I don't even know why we're having this conversation, other than it did get me to thinking about, you know, in the era of the 5, 6, and 7 seed, or even in the era of the 2 wild cards, when 3 played 6 and 4 played 5 in the first round. You know, 3 was a division winner, 4 was a division winner, but 5 and 6 were the wild cards. It's just, it's rare, but it can happen. Yes, your best path to getting to a Super Bowl and winning the Super Bowl is by winning your division and having the chance to play the most possible games at home. By far and away, the number one seed is produced, I think, obviously, the most Super Bowl winners. 53% of the Super Bowl winners were one seeds. 20.4% of Super Bowl winners were two seeds. Believe it or not, there was only one 3 seed to win a Super Bowl. Until last year, excuse me. The Chiefs were a 3 seed last year. They were the second 3 seed to win a Super Bowl after the 87 Skins with Doug Williams. Up until last year, they were the only 3 seed to win a Super Bowl. And then the percentages actually grow for 4 seeds at 14%, and then 5, 6, 4%, 7, the 7 seed is 0%. It's never happened. And, you know, in some ways, 5, 6, and 7 now all have to win 3 road games. It's possible 5 could host 6 in an NFC title game, or, you know, 5 could host 7, or 6 could host 7 in an NFC title game. So you could, as a wild card team, end up playing a home game, but it wouldn't be until the championship game. Philadelphia, by the way, set up very nicely with draft picks. They have a ton of draft picks like Washington does for the next few years. Their cap position isn't as attractive as Washington's. Washington right now going into 2025, projected per spot rack, has the 4th most salary cap space, and Philly's down the list. Philly's at 18th. Right now, you know, they're not at the bottom, but they're right around the middle of the league in terms of salary cap space. But I would look at the two franchises as the best in the division right now, the best setup roster wise, the best setup from a draft choice standpoint, and clearly the best right now equipped from a quarterback standpoint. And I think Washington would be number one in the division on that list. In terms of who's got the best quarterback right now, I would take Jaden Daniels over Jalen Hurts. I would take Jaden Daniels over Dak Prescott when he comes back. I would. The Giants will have a chance to take their young quarterback, perhaps at number one or number two in the draft next April. But who knows? They could turn it around with a new coach, just like Washington did if they get that position right. Because the Giants, actually, when you look at their roster, outside of quarterback primarily, it isn't the worst. They were pretty talented on defense in spots this year. Their offensive line they've invested in. Of course, they've had major health issues with their offensive line, but Andrew Thomas is a pretty good left tackle. Of course, giving up on Barkley is an indication that the franchise isn't particularly well run, but I would expect a cleaning of the house by the Mara family. With the Giants in the offseason, new GM, new head coach, new quarterback, they're essentially going to be in the same spot Washington is in, heading into 2025. And the Giants, by the way, have near top 10 salary cap space as well. So, you know, we saw what happened here. You know, you hire a new GM, you hire a new head coach, you draft a quarterback in the top 2, and it can turn around in a hurry. And the Giants' roster actually isn't that much different than Washington's was this time last year. They've got a potential star. Not potential. I would say Malik Nabers with a real quarterback is going to be a star wide receiver. You know, they can hit on the quarterback. Shedeur Sanders, Cam Ward, whomever it is, could turn it around in a hurry. It's really hard. We talk about this and have forever, all the time and forever. The NFL, the only thing that, the only predictor of sustained success is quarterback play. It's the only thing that you can hang your hat on and say, we have a chance to be good for several years in a row. Doesn't mean that it'll happen every year, but more often than not, if you have the quarterback, if you have that elite quarterback, you're going to be competitive. You're going to be a playoff contender year in and year out. And that's what you can say about Washington. Philadelphia is better in the trenches. They're better on defense, more talented on defense. Howie Roseman is an excellent general manager. I know everybody thinks somehow Adam Peters duped him twice. Look at the way Cooper DeJean's playing. All due respect for that trade-up that they made with Washington. Yeah, Washington perhaps got him back with the Jahan Dotson deal. We'll see. Time will tell on that one. I feel good about that one at this point. I do. But yeah, the Eagles and Washington with the Giants, really, if they hit on the quarterback, could be right there. They could. But let's just enjoy this right now. The division did get away pretty quickly. It got away from them pretty quickly. You know, there was a moment, and it wasn't that long ago, a month and a half, 2 months ago, where it really looked like Washington could be on the way to one of these dream seasons, 11, 12, 13 wins, a division title, and maybe a two seed behind Detroit. There was a moment we were thinking that. Philly had something to say about that. 9 straight wins. I still, you know, when Denton and I ranked our NFC contenders on yesterday's show, which we did, I got a lot of feedback from that, and I started to aggregate it before the show. But the net of it is that many more of you agreed with Denton than agreed with me, which is fine. I mean, I think it's close. Denton had Washington as the fourth NFC team in terms of ranking contenders, you know, first through whatever number you want to get to. He had Washington fourth behind Detroit, Philly, and you had Minnesota, right, third. I think you did.
Yes, it was Minnesota.
I had Detroit, Philly, Green Bay, Minnesota, and then Seattle, and had Washington sixth. Yeah, you know, okay, whatever. Look, one game is, in the NFL, it really is its own entity, man. This individual games on Sunday, and even when you get to the postseason, it's a couple of plays here and there when you get to the level that we're talking about. Couple of plays. And I am certainly confident that number 5 and the offense could make the difference in a game against maybe a perceived better opponent on the road. Can they do it 3 straight weeks? That's hard. I'm going to enjoy the first one when we get there. I'm going to enjoy the moment they clinch. Which, by the way, just as an aside, you know, the Thursday night game tomorrow night, you know, in terms of rooting interest for the upcoming games this weekend, it starts with Thursday night. I think we're rooting for the 49ers to beat the Rams. We don't want any legitimate fear of missing out. You know, if the Rams lose and Washington wins, Washington's got a 2-game lead over anybody for the 7th spot with 3 to go. That would be a really good position, not to mention that they're just in great shape from a tiebreaker standpoint, with the exception of the Buccaneers. And we'll see with the Falcons when they play them. But they could get themselves into a position to clinch a wild card spot as early as the Philadelphia game on the 22nd. And perhaps, and I think that the odds are actually good, that they could clinch a playoff spot before the season finale against the Cowboys. Now, they could still be playing for seeding at that point. And Green Bay's game this week, Sunday Night Football, what a good one this one is. Packers and Seahawks. We're going to see two teams that I have ranked ahead of Washington on my NFC contender list. Green Bay is a 3-point favorite on the road in Seattle Sunday night. This would be a big win for Washington if Seattle could get it done. If the other Washington could get it done, Seattle on Sunday night, that would be big because Seattle would, you know, strengthen. If you get a Rams loss and a Seattle win, now Seattle's on its way clearly to winning the division. It would have a two-game lead over everybody in that division. And the Packers and Washington could literally be tied late Sunday night with Washington holding the tiebreaker advantage because of better conference record. And Washington could be in the sixth spot late Sunday night. And why does that matter? I don't know. Like I said, each one of these games is its own entity. But it means that you don't have to go to Detroit or Philadelphia if you're the sixth seed. And that would be, I think, a more advantageous route to getting to the next round. Terry, thank you for that. And I was curious that how many teams really made big runs. The list is actually longer than you think, right? I mean, Brady did it. It's Brady and the 2020 Bucks. And remember, kind of like a little bit like the Eagles this year in that they struggled early. Now, the Eagles weren't a completely different team like the Buccaneers were in 2020. But remember, that COVID 2020 Buccaneer team, you know, really kind of, you know, got it going late in the season. They had lost, I think they were 6-6 or 7-5 at some point. And then they started rolling at the end of that season into the postseason. And remember, they came here first. A lot of you still like to say Tampa's toughest game on their way to the Super Bowl that year was here against Taylor Heinicke in Washington. It wasn't. But Washington gave a great fight, and Taylor played great in that game, no doubt. But they had a really close and tough fight in New Orleans and then in Green Bay in the NFC title game when Green Bay kicked that field goal late. Remember that? Instead of trying to score. And then they destroyed Kansas City, but they really figured it out as they got to December. You know, they had finally started to figure it out. All right. We got a lot to get to on this show today, and we will start doing that right after these words from a few of our sponsors. You're listening to The Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980 and the Team 980.com.